Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And I don't know for sure, but I think I would rather be back where my wife is teaching. She went back there with a big rope, and I don't know what's going to happen. So if you hear any screams, why, just hold on to your seat. We never know. It's a blessing to be in a church that has supported us and helped us do the Lord's work. We've already been in seven countries this year, and we have six more to go. And in three of those countries, we repeat going back two times during the year because of the volume of work in those countries. The missionary work that I do, that you support, is patterned after the Apostle Paul. I believe that Paul was the premier missionary of the New Testament, and that we get our pattern of missions from the work that he did. And he always did the same three things everywhere he went. He preached the gospel to introduce Christ Jesus to the lost. Second thing he did was help them establish churches. The third thing he did was train people to serve God in their own country, among their own people. We do those three things. We do them by request. We do not ask anybody if we can come. They contact us. And we try to go, because of churches like yours, to very poor places that cannot afford us to come. So we go at our own expense through the support that you give us. And we have been able to help get 25 churches started around the world. And we have seen over 50,000 people take our seminar Bible courses. And we have seen over 10,000 professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that your investment is well placed in that ministry that God has so marvelously and richly blessed. One of the other things that I also do is fill in for missionaries and pastors if they need to be gone from their work for a period of time, so that we can watch over their work for them and carry out their wishes. We don't go to change anything. We go to do whatever the pastor wants us to do while we're there. So that's the kind of missionary work that we're doing. We believe in two kinds of missionaries that do the same thing. One of them is a resident missionary who moves to one country and stays. The other is a non-resident missionary like the Apostle Paul, who goes from place to place. And those two missionary approaches really do the same identical work. So just to let you know what you're supporting. And of course, now that Lucy is with me, it costs more because she's going on my team. She's ministering the ladies and children. And there are a lot of lonely missionary wives, pastors' wives out there all over the world that could use somebody like her just to encourage them and visit with them and pray with them and speak to them on different subjects. And so you pray for us that our support will increase so that I can be sure and feed her well as we go on the road. It's important. Women like to eat and they like to go to the mall. You gotta take those things into consideration. I can live on donuts, but she can't. All my life I've been a kind of a food junkie eater, and yet God's been good to me and given me fairly good health, and I'm still going for the Lord. This month is my 65th year in the ministry, and I'm thankful God has let me have that many years to serve him. Knowing everything we went through all those years, if I had it to do all over, I'd be glad to do it again. And if you want a great adventure and you're a young person trying to find something to do, volunteer to serve Jesus. It's a great adventure. Wonderful adventure. I woke up early this morning and with tears in my eyes, missing my mother. My mother was one of the most godly women, a great prayer warrior, a peacemaker, and a great blessing in a young boy's life. I was very rich to grow up in that kind of home. My first wife, Mary Ann, was a godly woman, and she is the mother of our children, and they loved her. At our service for her, they all got up and sang and gave testimonies about their mother. And now God has put Lucy into my life, and she's a treasure from the Lord, a godly, godly woman who spent 51 years in Argentina as a missionary alongside of her husband, who went to be with the Lord 4.5 years ago. And I saw a treasure and I took it. And it's been a blessing in my life. This morning I want to turn to several passages of Scripture in preparation for the things we're going to say. First of all, if you would go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The value of a godly woman cannot be estimated. There is nothing more beautiful in all the world than a godly, holy woman. There's nothing as ugly as an ungodly woman on this earth. Then I'd like you to also go to the New Testament with me. We'll refer to these passages throughout the message. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And I would like to look at verse 34 and 35. The Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And we'll get back to that in a moment. And then in the book of Titus, I'd like us to also look at chapter 2, and we'll read verse 3, 4, and 5. The Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, and not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm speaking this morning on women as keepers. That passage of Scripture mentions that. Then I want us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfringed. Then I want you to look at chapter 3 of the same passage. I want you to go to 2 Timothy now, chapter 3 and verse 14. Bible says, and this is advice from Paul the apostle, to Timothy, one of his preacher boys. He says here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here you see that Timothy, from a child, was taught the Holy Scriptures. Now, he was not taught the Holy Scriptures just at church when the preacher got up to preach. He was taught by his grandmother and his mother in the home. We don't know anything about his father. Perhaps he was dead. Perhaps he was not a converted man. But the women became the responsible agents to put the word of God in this young man's heart. So from these passages of scripture, I want us to notice this morning three things that women, godly women, holy women, are keepers of. Some women keep all kinds of things. They become attached to things. My wife, Marianne, was attached to her pillow. And she was attached to her own blanket. And she didn't hardly want to leave home because she didn't want to leave those things. When we got married, she had 16 pair of shoes. Wanted to take them all on the honeymoon. I said, we're going camping. So ladies like to keep all kinds of things. There are three things that it's very important for women to be keepers of. First of all, they must keep their place in the house of God. That's very plainly taught in the scriptures. Secondly, they must be keepers at home. And thirdly, they must be keepers of the Word of God. Those are the three things that I would like us to look at today as we consider the message for the morning. First of all, I'd like us to look at being keepers in the home. Sometimes we see nowadays an attitude that the home is not important. That going out and working and making all the money you can is more important than keeping the home. When I married, I told my wife, I will make the living, you will keep our home. And that's the way we operated. Didn't have everything that everybody else had because they had two jobs, but they were always working and couldn't enjoy what they had. And hardly ever saw each other. And as a result, the marriage didn't last. Often it was destroyed because of a lack of keeping the home. I remember my father was in his own business. Sometimes people would aggravate him on the job, and he would come home all nervous and stirred up from the day, and I watched my mother handle my father. She always fixed herself neatly and modestly and purely. She had her foo-foo powder on and all that when he came home. And she had his meal all fixed for him. He'd come in rough and growling. I watched her put her arms around him, and I saw that man melt. And just a peace went over him. She could do that for him. I watched that as a boy growing up. Actually, keeping a home, keeping a house, is an exalted place in a woman's life. Some people think that it's drudgery, that it's beneath women now. They need freedom to go out and be in politics and work and so forth. One of the things that's damaging America right now is a woman politician. I pray for her every day that God will remove her from office. A woman who keeps the home is doing something extremely valuable. Because a woman who keeps her home, the Bible says, can be trusted by her husband. Her husband can trust her. A woman who keeps the home will always be remembered by her children, and they will always bless her, and her husband will always praise her. That is the great value of a woman keeping the home, being a keeper at home. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, says her Lord will praise her. It is a blessing from God to have a holy woman keeping the home, because God will bless her. And more than getting any honors from anybody else, one of the greatest things to do is let God honor you and let God bless you and let God give you what only God can give. In Proverbs 31, verse 28, it says that her husband will praise her. So a good, godly keeper at home will be praised by the Lord, will be praised by her husband. And in Proverbs 31 and verse 3, it says, even her works will praise her. What she does is so holy and so godly and so pure that those works will honor her and bless her and praise her. I can remember as a boy that my mother was always looked to in our community by the other women when they had spiritual problems. They would come into our home and my mother would teach them. And then I remember that at times when there was problems in each individual life, the woman would come to my mother, for advice and for counsel. And her works praised her. So there is nothing more beautiful than a godly, holy woman keeping a home. For 61 and a half years, I lived with a woman who kept our home. When she died, it ceased to be a home, and it became nothing but a house. I was going to a house for 3 years. Out of a house, see. She does that in a marvelous and wonderful way. And I, the other day, I walked into the closet area of our house and I saw all of Lucy's clothes and things. And for 3 years, I hadn't seen any women's things in my house. And what a blessing it was just to see that God put a keeper back in my house that's now making a home out of that. I used to sit in my empty house and think I heard my wife in the kitchen. She was gone. I used to think I heard her driving her car in the garage. That was a miserable experience to live in an empty house that no longer was a home. Ladies, you have no idea what great comfort it is in a good man's life to have a woman making a home out of his house. What do you need this? Okay. Now, a woman can't change the batteries, but maybe we can get somebody to do it. I bet a woman can do it anyway. All right, we'll see how that goes. So the first thing I want to emphasize this morning is that a woman should be a keeper at home. Second thing I want to give you to consider is that a woman should keep her place in the house of God. Keeping her place in the house of God is not a degrading thing. Her place in the house of God is extremely important. Her place in the house of God is in silent worship as an example and a testimony, showing forth that her life is under the control of the Holy Spirit. See? And this silence that is spoken of in the Bible about a woman in the house of God refers to her not taking a leadership role in front of men. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about her being a Sunday school teacher, working in the Sunday school, working in the church office, is talking about her not getting up publicly and speaking to a mixed audience of men and women. She is to be silent in that particular setting. That's what the scriptures say. We now have religious churches and organizations that are pastored by women and run by women. That's out of place according to the scriptures. If she is a godly woman, she can speak to her husband and learn from her husband about the holy things that need to be discussed when the men get together in the church. See, when I was a pastor, I used to have the secretary of the church on occasions call all the men of the church. And I would say to her, tell them to meet me at the church tonight at midnight. And they would meet with me and we would discuss problems and solutions that needed to be taken care of. And the women and the children were at home and we men took care of those spiritual matters that were necessary to take care of the work of the Lord. Women do not violate the scripture when they serve children, when they serve in music, when they serve as teachers in the Sunday school, just to name a few areas where women can be of great service to the Lord. Think of the comfort given when they teach other ladies. The Bible says the older women should teach the younger ladies, showing them how to be keepers at home. A very important lesson, and how to guide their children. Women can shape and mold the lives of children for God that can result in them growing up to be mighty servants of God. When I was a Sunday school boy of 10 years old, a lady was our Sunday school teacher. For several weeks, I had heard our preacher preaching on salvation, preaching on God's judgment, preaching on hell. And I'm going to tell you, it scared me as a 10-year-old boy. I could not sleep at night. My mama would ask me why I'm not sleeping, and I wouldn't tell her. I didn't want anybody to know. But I was afraid to go to sleep. I didn't want to wake up in hell. I heard that kind of old-time, old-fashioned Bible preaching, and it did something to me. And I came to the place where I got so desperate that at 10 years old, I was sitting in that Sunday school class. The lady was teaching our class. I raised my hand. And she said, what do you need? I said, I want to get saved. She said, I'll talk to you after class. I raised my hand again. She said, what now? I said, I want to get saved now. And that lady stopped the class and won me to the Lord that day. Then she took me up to the big church upstairs where my mom and dad was. And she said, your son has something to tell you. Well, immediately my mother thought I'd caused trouble in the class. And so I told my mother and my father that I had just gotten saved. And of course, then they started weeping and were thankful and praising the Lord. Many years later, I was preaching in my hometown and that lady came and heard me preach. The lady that won me to Jesus. What a great blessing that was to have someone teach me how to be saved and how to escape the judgment of God, how to escape eternal hell. What a blessing that was. She was a very rich person in my life. And all of the things that I've been able to accomplish in the ministry, she gets a reward for that because she won me to Jesus Christ. So it's very important that women be keepers at home. It's very important that women keep their place in the house of God that is very, very important. I remember going to a church years ago to preach and present my ministry. I was in the pastor's office with him. He said, "Now it's time for us to go out to the service." And as we started out, we started down a hallway, and he said, "I want you to go in this room for just a moment." And I went in that room, and there were two women in that room. He said, "I want to introduce these ladies to you because they're not going to hear you preach today. All the time you're preaching, they're going to be in here on their knees praying. You have no idea what an effect that'd have on a preacher. The power of prayer. Those ladies were with God in that room praying while I was standing in the pulpit." See? So, keepers, keeping your place in the house of God, how important that can be. The last thing I want you to consider with me this morning is that women should be keeping the precious word of God. I want you to notice a passage of scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says here, Paul again is talking to Timothy. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Where did this young man learn to put his faith in Jesus Christ? Where did he learn the value of the Son of God controlling his life? He didn't learn it from a preacher. He didn't learn it from a father. Evidently, the father was either dead or unsaved, had no interest in spiritual things. But the grandmothers can be a great blessing spiritually in the lives of grandchildren. And the mother had that same faith. They taught this young boy out of the Holy Scriptures. At the time they were teaching this young boy, they had no idea what God was going to do with his life. But without realizing it, God used those two women to prepare him, like being in a Bible college. And I remember that when I went to school, I had the advantage that a lot of young men in my class did not have, because I grew up in a home where my mother read the Bible to me. My father spread his Bible and his books and his charts out, and he taught his son Bible prophecy. He taught me why there was going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, why there was going to be a literal second coming of Christ. He taught me about the secret coming of Christ, and then the tribulation period, and then the public coming of Christ to establish his kingdom on earth. My father taught me all that. I learned it at home, not at church. My mother taught me out of the scriptures. And so when I went to Bible college, I already knew a lot of things the other guys didn't know. And it was much easier for me in Bible college because I had already been taught many of the things that I was taught in Bible school. Just reminded me in Bible school of all the things I had ever already learned from my father and from my mother. So here you see that two women thought it was very important to keep a proper place for the Word of God in a young boy's life. And your children need to hear you read the Bible. They need to hear their father read the Bible. They need to hear their mother read the Bible. They need to hear their father pray. They need to hear their mother pray. When I was a boy, I can't help but refer to such a godly woman as my mother. I hope you'll forgive me. But my mother would never go to sleep until her boy was home safe. And I could walk in the back door of our house and I could look clear through the kitchen, the living room, into the living room. And when I would come home, my mother would be on her knees praying in the living room couch. And when she heard me come in, she'd get up, kiss me goodnight, and go to bed. But she stayed on her knees till her boy got home safe. What an effect that'll have on a boy. You'd never forget that. I'm almost 85 years old, and I still remember that every day. How that my mother prayed to get me home safe and to keep me out of trouble. And there were times when I was tempted like any boy, but it always remembered, wait a minute, your mom is home on her knees praying for you. What an effect that would have. A lasting effect all of a boy's life to have that kind of thing going on. I've been going to the country of Hungary where we just got back from for some 13, 14 years, I guess. I was first invited to go to Hungary by a missionary who had heard about me and asked me to come and have a seminar and with the pastors there. I didn't know anything about him, but I said, yes, I'll come. And so when I got to the airport, he and his wife were there to meet me. Then we got in the car and he said, now, I need to tell you something before we get to the house. We have 13 children. Well, I've never been in a place where they had 13 children before. And he said, but it's all right. Everything will be just fine. When we opened the door of the house, there was 15 pair of dress shoes lined up, 15 pair of tennis shoes lined up. I thought I was walking into a shoe store. I stopped and took a picture of it. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life to be in that home. That whole week with them. I had my own room and a little bathroom. And the first night, one of the boys knocked on the door. I went to the door. He said, my father wants you to come up and join us for a family altar. So I went upstairs where they all lived. And they were all sitting around in a circle, 15 of them. I'm number 16. That's enough to take up an offering. And one of the boys led the singing. One of the girls played the piano. And it's like being in a church service. And then when they finished, the father brought a Bible lesson to his family. And then he said, now we're going to read the scriptures together. He told them where to turn in the Bible. And he read verse 1 and mother read verse 2. And every one of the children then read a verse. Down to the little baby girl that was sitting next to me. She couldn't read, so they skipped her. And then I read the scripture, and we read all the way through a passage, finished it. Then he said, now we're all going to have prayer. I'll lead in prayer, and mother will pray next, and each one of the children except the little one, and then Brother Smith will close. And so we went around the circle. Those children all heard their father bring a Bible lesson. Those children all heard their father and their mother read the Bible. Those children all heard their father and their mother pray. See? So there was a keeping of the word of God on the part of that father and that mother. They both were involved. Timothy was taught the word of God from a child. If you go to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 14 and 15 that I read earlier, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Best time to memorize the word of God is when you're young and your mind is young. It's a blessing to do that. Because if you learn it then, it'll stay with you the rest of your life. And God will call it to your memory as it becomes important in facing various issues of life. When I was in Bible college, I was challenged by our professor to memorize the entire 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The 8th chapter covers so much, so many areas of life and so many areas of the ministry that I did not know at that time that it would eventually touch in my life. But I memorized the whole thing. I can't quote it now. My memory's still pretty good, but my recall is what's bad nowadays. But what's amazing about that passage of Scripture is that all through my ministry, when I faced various issues, because I memorized that chapter, God would bring the verse to me out of that chapter that I needed for that particular occasion. He brought that back to my mind, back to my memory. Sometimes a young man or a young woman who has learned Scripture, who has memorized Scripture, might get away from the Lord. And that Scripture will begin to haunt them, bring it back to their minds. See, when you teach them, they will remember what you taught them. Timothy was a young man whose grandmother and mother kept him in the Word of God. Now Timothy is admonished by the Apostle Paul to continue in what he was taught as a boy. Just think about it. If his grandmother and his mother had not taught him the Scriptures, what would have been the life of Timothy? What would have been the future of Timothy? Timothy became a member of Paul's missionary team. Later on, history tells us he became the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And historians tell us that that church may have reached an attendance of 50,000 people. We don't have anything like that in the world today. That church also became a great missionary church and sent missionaries out all over the world, the church of Ephesus. Timothy became their pastor. Timothy was a strong believer in the Word of God. He stood by the principles and standards of the Word of God because his mother and grandmother taught him to do it. And so strong was he in the what his grandmother and mother had taught him that one day, history says, a pagan parade came down the street toward his church. He stood out there and he preached to them and tried to call them to righteousness, and they began to stone him so badly that two or three days later, he died. He died a martyr for the cause of Christ and for the Word of God. See, what would have happened in that boy's life if his grandmother and his mother had not instilled the Word of God in his heart? See, that's how important it is. You might not even think they're listening. Wiggling, squirming, looking somewhere else. But they're listening. They remember. I remember my father was teaching a Sunday school class of boys, and he was reading about the Lord's Supper and the 12 there. And my father just thought, I'm going to add some numbers to this to see if the boys are really listening. So instead of saying 12, he said 24. One of the boys raised his hand and said, big table. So they were listening. Sometimes we don't think they're listening, but they're listening. And sometimes they're listening to the wrong thing. You better watch what your children listen to in their bedroom. You better watch what they watch on television, because that will make a bad mark upon their minds that will be a lasting effect and very harmful. So think of what could have happened if this boy had not been taught by his mother and by his grandmother. Think of what would have happened. So women should be keepers at home. Women should keep their place in the house of God. And women should be keepers of the precious word of God. Give it to other ladies. Give it to other children. Be a soul winner. We were riding on the plane over here the other day to get here, and a lady was sitting right next to Lucy. And I was kind of dozing off, and all of a sudden, I heard her preaching to that lady. She was telling that lady how to be saved, and she even got her email address so she could keep in contact with her. That's the kind of thing that women can do. They can win other women to Christ and be a great blessing. So I am sure that as I look out over this audience, we have some very godly women here. And just remember, be keepers. Keep important things. Keep the word of God. Keep your place in the church. Keep the home. Make it a place where your husband wants to come. Make it a place where your children want to come. We always made our home a place where our children could bring their friends. We would rather them bring their friends than they go to their friends. And I put everything I could in the refrigerator, and they consumed it. They didn't eat it. They consumed it. But we'd replace it and put more in there so that they would always come to our house and be with our family in a holy and godly environment. We watched what was on our television. We had a clicker and we clicked it off when programs came on that should not be watched. I didn't want to watch them. I didn't want my children to watch them. And so it's very important that we hold to these important biblical principles, because keepers at home are doing something that the devil is working hard to destroy. One of the great efforts of Satan today is to destroy the family and destroy the home. And now they call any two people living together a family. That's not what the Bible says. So we need keepers at home. The nation is built upon homes. Churches are built upon homes. We get all of our doctors, our nurses, our preachers, every form of life from our homes. And unfortunately, we get some bad products as well. And if you're here today and you are a mother and you're not saved, the problem is your children may follow you in the same unbelieving direction you're going in. And so you need to set an example before your children that you are a child of God. You belong to the Lord. You're His daughter. And you're serving Him. You're going to heaven and you want your children to go along with you. If you're not saved, I invite you to come today to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you're a mother who's been neglecting spiritual things and you're away from the Lord, be a good time to come back to the Lord and get right with Him. Be a good time for a son during the invitation, or a daughter during the invitation, just to go over to your mother and tell her you love her. And Mom, would you come to the altar and pray with me? That'd be a good thing to do. Might be a good thing for a husband and a wife to kneel together in prayer. Ask God to bless your lives and your marriage and your family, the things you're trying to do for the Lord. The altar is a place for God's people to meet God. So I invite you to do that as we bow together in prayer and stand to our feet.